الفاميلي جات سندرو del $5 McChicken Meal Deal, del $5 McDouble Meal Deal y del nuevo $6 Daily Double Meal Deal. Todos con papitas y bebida pequeña más McNuggets de 4 piezas. ¡Wow! ¡Qué banquete! Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. No es válido para McDelivery.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Network. Green Edison! Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle!
Buckle up. Week number 15 is here. Welcome to Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Sirius Channel 159, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz getting prepared for great action, and it starts tonight in L.A. between the Chiefs and Chargers. We'll get to that game in a little bit. Some news and notes. DeAndre Hopkins, star wide receiver for Arizona, will not play the rest of the regular season. He's battling an injury. Hopefully, Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray will get Hopkins back for the playoff run. And then the news of the day, George, it finally happened in Jacksonville. News surrounding Urban Meyer, you know, that situation with the former kicker on the team. He kicked him. Well, Shad Khan, he cut Urban Meyer late last night. Gone, chopped. Urban Meyer lasted 13 games in Jacksonville. This team is 2-11. You look at the opening line this weekend against Houston. All the money pouring in on Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars opened at 3. It's now up to 5, baby.
Yeah, this is no big surprise, right? A little at the midnight last night we heard about this. Urban Meyer kicks the kicker, and Shad Khan kicks Urban Meyer to the curb. I guarantee there were lawyers involved here, too. Since Khan found out about the kicking, maybe there's a clause in the contract that they can, don't even have to pay him. There'll be lawyers, I'm sure. So Jacksonville moves on. It was bound to happen either now or after the season or the next couple of weeks. So this was sort of a fait accompli here. Jacksonville will have to figure out what they're going to do next as far as the head coach is concerned. It just didn't work for Meyer at all. So one disaster after another. Like I said, the Josh Lambeau kicking thing, Trevor Lawrence coming out and saying there's more distractions here, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, maybe more importantly than anything, as far as on-the-field football, Jacksonville needs to find someone to develop Trevor Lawrence and develop this offense. You cannot let this number one pick just, you know, go into the wasteland.
Yeah, well, offensive coordinator Darren Bevell will take over the helm in terms of the not just the play-calling duties, obviously, but obviously the head coaching duties. The former Wisconsin quarterback was just basically a middle-of-the-road type of quarterback, one of the best offensive coordinators a few years ago. Couldn't get it going with Trevor Lawrence and the crew. You remember week one. I mean, Jacksonville was on the road to face Houston. They put up 21 points, but that was basically in mop-up duty. Now the rematch at home in Jacksonville, a lot of people buying into, well, we cut the fat. Now the team is focused. They're ready. They can play loose. I tell you what, I'm not buying it. You know, if Urban Meyer was not the reason why this team was playing hard or playing intense, then I need to see it, because I got to be honest with you. I haven't seen an offensive approach, an attacking style. You're right about Trevor Lawrence. Absolutely pathetic. Doesn't even look like he enjoys the game of football. Just looks absolutely clueless out there. And you know, you could look at his progression in terms of Death Valley and Clemson, where he led the Tigers to a national championship as a freshman, slightly regressed due to a shoulder injury sophomore season, played well, not elite, I want to say, in terms of his junior year. But now, right now, I mean, threw for over 200 yards week one and then went through just a span of games where couldn't read coverage, forcing balls, turnovers. I mean, one touchdown pass basically over the last six or seven games. And this is the number one draft pick in the NFL. Things need to change. But I got to be honest, George, I don't think it happens this weekend against Houston. I'm taking the five gimme points in this matchup.
What I take up is I am not touching games in bad teams. It's because of a guessing game, and I've been guessing wrong on those games all season long. So I'm not touching this. You also wanted, do they get the bump? You know, the different head coach bump we see in sports sometimes here. I'd probably be tempted to go Jacksonville in this game. They'll use James Robinson like the way they should. So I would probably go that direction. But like I said, all honesty, I am not touching it. Don't want to watch this game anyway here. I am more... if I had to watch it, I just want to see if Trevor Lawrence, you know, if he does play better. If the offense does look more like an NFL offense, because it hasn't so far this year. Like I said, some of these plays they're running in the receiver formations and the route combinations just look silly. Just absolutely silly here. So I'm curious as far as that's concerned. But let's face it, both these teams are a disaster until next season anyway. But no thank you.
Injury to Hopkins, a detriment for this team in Arizona moving forward. Obviously, they had one of the best records in the NFC and the NFL, for that matter, lost a Monday night game to the LA Rams and Matt Stafford. How big of an injury is this? And do you feel he comes back 100% during the playoffs to allow this team a Super Bowl run with Kyler Murray at the helm?
Do they get there without him? I mean, that's the question here. They're saying they have to go deep into the playoffs. What does that mean? Does that mean championship game? You know, because at most, there's 4 weeks of playoffs, right? They still have a chance for the bye here, but let's say they don't miss the bye. So deep would seem to me at least week three, you know, not week two. So I don't know if they get that far. The NFC playoffs, outside of the wild card round, because theoretically you could play a weaker team, San Fran, Washington, Philadelphia, whoever might make it. But after that, you're playing good teams. Can they win that week two game without DeAndre Hopkins? Not so sure. I'll say no, they don't get very far.
I'm with you. Arizona right now, a 10-1 favorite to win the Super Bowl. Top team in the NFC is Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers at plus 650. When George and I come back, we'll dive into the games. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, breaking down week number 15. We'll dive into that game quickly in L.A. between the Chargers and Kansas City Chiefs. We talked about the Chiefs earlier in the week on a six-game heater, just putting them up and knocking them down. Doesn't matter who you put in front of Patrick Mahomes and the crew. That defense has stepped up, been opportunistic. Las Vegas went into Arrowhead last week as an 8.5, 9-point dog, got abused 48-9. Now there's a rematch between Justin Herbert and the L.A. Chargers. L.A. did get the victory in the earlier part of the season on the road. They were a 7-point dog in that battle. Now at home, they're a 3-point underdog, minus 105 on FanDuel. For the Chargers, you want to take a shot on the Chiefs. They're minus 115. Total set at 52.5, George. I'm going to take Justin Herbert and the Chargers here. Maybe they just own Kansas City. They played well against them from a schematic advantage. I like this matchup. I'm going to take the LA Chargers as the home dog, plus the points, plus 144 on the money line.
My first question is this. How healthy is Austin Ekeler? All right, I think that's a huge thing tonight. He's not anywhere near Austin Ekeler. If he can play, but not make the moves he's used to making because of the ankle, then I get very worried here. I have no doubt he's going to play. I'd be surprised if he doesn't play. No, that's questionable. Didn't practice Monday, did practice Tuesday, Wednesday also. So he's going to play tonight, but I just don't know what he's going to be. Now, the Chargers are saying that they're going to evaluate him in pregame workout. I think that's more gamesmanship than anything else to keep Kansas City guessing here. Chargers aren't going to have Slater. Chiefs aren't going to have Chris Jones. I guess you could say that offsets each other. Kansas City's been playing so well. It is in L.A. This is a massively important game because if the Chiefs win, this division's over, right? It's all over with the crying. It's Chiefs will win it. We go on here. If the Chargers can pull this out, it becomes very interesting because they will win any tiebreaker with the Kansas City Chiefs, and they really don't play anybody all that tough. Now, I know the Chargers have charged before, but next week they got Houston. They're not blowing that. Then they get the two division games, Denver at home, Vegas on the road. Vegas looks like they've packed it in. Denver game could be interesting, but it's at home. Chargers win tonight. I think they win the AFC West. I think they bring it home here. Tough game tonight. I'm going to take the – I think Kansas City wins the game, but I'll take the points. So I think it's going to be a very close game that comes down to the wire here. I just think I'm going to follow past history here. Chargers find a way to lose.
Okay, I think if they win this game, like you mentioned, I think they could be a legitimate shot potentially as a Super Bowl contender, because the biggest thing that – you know, we talk about dark horses. We talk about teams that can make a run. We're not talking about the favorites in terms of the AFC. I'm not talking about, obviously, Kansas City now and some of the other teams like New England playing their best football. You got to look a little bit deeper. Obviously, Buffalo showed a little bit something in terms of the second half against the best team. It's still, in my opinion, in Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucks. Buffalo's a 14-1 shot. L.A., 22-1. So deeper, this is to win the Super Bowl. The biggest thing for Justin Herbert and the LA Chargers has been consistency. They now have back-to-back wins. They've shown a little consistency here. You could back it up with a quality win against one of the hottest teams in the NFL in Kansas City. Now you got something building heading into the late months of December and obviously at the end of the year right before the playoffs. So that's progression and maybe a catch lightning in a bottle per se. You like that? You like that saying, right? Lightning in a bottle, the bolts.
That's good. Very 2 points for Mr. Lisi here. Listen, I think it's going to be – I think when we get the playoffs, when we get the 14 teams in the playoffs, I think outside maybe two or three of those teams, any of those teams could win the Super Bowl or at least get to the Super Bowl. I think that's how close it is. Now, you mentioned in the AFC, yeah, I can see the Chargers getting there. Absolutely, I can see the Chargers getting there. That offense is legit. I do worry about the rush defense. It's got a little better lately, but I do worry about that. Other than that, you know, it's a pretty damn good, solid team. I think, you know, I don't want to be negative Ned here, but what's going on with COVID is also going to determine a lot. Who's healthier at this time? You know, does anyone truly think COVID's going away for the NFL playoffs? Yeah, we'll take January off. No problem. Go ahead. Go play your playoffs. We're going to see what happened earlier this week to a team or two in the playoffs where they get destroyed by COVID. Look at the Washington football team. They're right now in a playoff spot. Right, the season ended today. They would play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But they have, 18 players on COVID? So I think that's going to determine things, too. It's not really, maybe how well you're playing, but how healthy you are with COVID, with injuries itself here. So I think a lot of teams are going to be in the mix. I think the playoffs are going to be very interesting. And sort of, in some ways, not the COVID, but good for the game because I agree with you about Tampa Bay. I think they are the best team. I think they're the best team though somebody beats them at this point. You know, that's the way it is. But a lot of these games are going to be like, ooh, it could go one way or the other. I think when you and I were talking about them, you'll be on one side, I'll be on the other, because it'll be that close. There won't be any obvious ones, especially at the wild card weekend.
Yeah, and when you talk about them winning the division, right? Right now, they're plus 144 on the money line. They have the head-to-head. But then they're plus 200 to win the division. Kansas City minus 230. So if you want to pull the trigger before, why not get 2-1? Because if they knock them off and they have the head-to-head now in terms of they would have two victories over Patrick Mahomes, assuming they can run the month of December playing it out to the end of the year. So keep an eye out for that. We've seen movement in terms of the Cleveland line. We know about head coach Kevin Stefanski. He's on the COVID list. Baker Mayfield is on the COVID list. This line has moved basically a touchdown in favor of the Las Vegas Raiders. This line was basically Cleveland minus 5.5 at the start of the week. Now Cleveland is an underdog plus 1.5. Man, this is a tough cap because obviously Baker Mayfield, if he can't play, you got Case Keenum at the other flip of the hat. And you look at Las Vegas, I thought they would at least have a better effort catching 9.5 against a divisional opponent in terms of Kansas City. They didn't even show up. Down 35-0 in the first half of that ball game. Now that the lines move so much, You know, before the COVID situation, I'd be inclined to say, you know, I think there's no way Las Vegas could step up and make this a game. It is back-to-back road games. But laying 1.5 now, a full touchdown, I'm going to buy in here and just lay it with Las Vegas. I'm not buying into the identity of Cleveland. If Mayfield's out, Chubb can't get it going, where does this offense go? And it really falls on Stefanski as well. If he can't play call, then I have a big problem with this team heading into this matchup. All right, we'll wait for George to get back with us there in terms of the breakdown. Why?
What I was saying is Stefanski's not calling any plays here. He's got COVID as well. So Cleveland's in trouble. And this is a massively important game. I'm going through the list here of all their guys that are on COVID. I mean, my God, he's up to 18 players. And I'm not listen, they're not all name players. You're not going to know the names. Well, you will. But, I mean, these are players who are starters. I mean, I know, and I agree with you. So Vegas did, you know, they mailed it in. They fumbled. Josh Jacobs made that first fumble on the game versus KC, and they were done. They didn't care anymore for whatever reason, which was strange because they made a big thing of, I guess, having a pregame meeting on the KC logo, which almost started stuff there. So it seemed like they were into it, and then you fumble once, and you're done. Are they going to show up on Saturday? That's really the question here. Are they going to show up on Saturday? It's in Cleveland. Probably not going to be a nice day. I don't know. But I think I have to go with the Raiders as well. I mean, 18. I think one or two might come back. Just playing percentages here. One or two might get the two negative tests 24 hours apart. I don't know who those two would be, by the way. But you're going to tell me they're going to get a lot of these guys back? No, you don't have your head coach again. Now, granted, they beat Pittsburgh in the wild card round last year. That was when Stefanski had his first bout with COVID. He wasn't the coach there. And we had a lot of jokes there, blah, blah, blah. Can they do it again? Sure they can. But I got to go with the Raiders. I mean, they're a team. Right now, this is not a Cleveland team. This is a minor league team.
This total is getting hammered now. Now it's down to 38.5. I mean, how low could it go before you say, I got to take a shot on the over? It's 38.5, juice to the over at minus 114. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more in terms of the Cleveland situation and dive into New England and Indianapolis. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Ripping through the games for this Saturday and Sunday. We just left off talking about the Cleveland Browns, the COVID situation. Obviously, Baker Mayfield, head coach Kevin Stefanski on that list. Will they be available for this weekend's ball game on Saturday, 4:31 kick against the Raiders? George and I both early on lean to the Raiders here and lay in 1.5. Don't love it. Totally, I left off at 38.5. I mean, at what point, George, do you say enough is enough? I mean, for an NFL football game to go basically under 37 points, I mean, can you still bang the under? You might have Case Keenum. You still have Derek Carr on the flip side. I got to think they'd look to at least put up more than 9 points in terms of that pathetic output in Arrowhead. So I'd be inclined to take the over in this ballgame.
I'm taking the over, Joe. It's just a question of when is it not going to go down any further? You know what I mean? I mean, we're 38.5 now. Can I get the 38? Can I get the 37.5? So when is it where it's flat? It's done. When is the money come on the over now where it's going to go up? That's the game we're playing now. I'm taking the over in this. It's almost on principle. I have no choice. It's just too low here. The Raiders are there's nothing wrong with the Raiders. They should score in the 20s. And the Cleveland, they're crushed. No doubt they're crushed, but they'll have Nick Chubb. And they'll definitely have Nick Chubb, by the way, because since he already had COVID earlier this a month ago, he gets that 90-day window where they don't test anymore. The only way he wouldn't play is if he shows symptoms, not for a positive test. So Nick Chubb is playing. Yeah, they're not going to have Kareem Hunt. Not going to have Jarvis Landry and Mayfield. But, Keenum is a serviceable quarterback here. I think they'll score some points. I do. So, give me the over here. I'm just playing the game. When am I going to take it? Because it's going to start bouncing up now. Because I think it's going to, the over's going to get hammered. I think a lot of people just like me now waiting for it to keep going down, or is it going to get stabilized? And then it's going to start going up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm on the over as well. Now, the late night game is a marquee battle. We have Mac Jones taking on Carson Wentz. Don't want to dive into this game too much. We're obviously beyond breaking it down tomorrow in deeper detail between this team. But, you know, Jonathan Taylor and that running game has really come on. In Indianapolis opened as a 1.5-point favorite. Now it's up to 2.5 on FanDuel. I mean, New England, one of the hottest teams with the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC. They're hitting on all cylinders. They have an identity. They want to pound the rock. They want to rely on that front seven that's been very opportunistic throughout the season in terms of forcing turnovers. And they have the type of recipe to win on the road, right? You run the football, you limit turnovers, you limit possessions. You have an opportunity to pull ball games out. They're not asking a whole lot out of Mac Jones in back-to-back wins over Tennessee and last week against the Buffalo Bills. 45.5 is the total. I'm on New England's bandwagon now, which means they'll probably lose. I've been against them for about 6 or 7 weeks. I'm jumping on them here, plus the 2.5, but also like the over 45.5 at -115 in this ballgame.
Another massive game here. New England going for that top spot in the AFC. And Indianapolis, they're not quite in a playoff spot yet. They're in one of those teams that are pretty much tied for that spot, but they're in a playoff spot. They're in the sixth spot. My bad. But they're tied with Buffalo, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Denver. Pittsburgh only a half game out. What a quagmire that's going to be down the end. And odds are they lose this game, then they'll be out of a spot. So they're going to keep playing that little game here. I'm looking forward to this game massively. So Saturday night, I think it's going to be a very good contest here. I want to see Indianapolis. You're playing against what, if not the best team in the AFC, certainly one of them, playing like one of them. I expect Bill Belichick to do everything he can to stop Jonathan Taylor and force Carson Wentz to beat him. All right, and you've been beating up Wentz all season long, so have I. All right, Carson, what can you do at home against a team that's trying to take Taylor away? Can you win the game? Can you win the game? I also want to see the Indianapolis defense play a little better, especially in the secondary here. I think this is a close contest that goes down to the wire. But I think Indianapolis at home, I'm going to take the Colts.
You mentioned that Washington has 17 players on COVID, right? Obviously, Taylor Heinicke got injured last week against Dallas. Kyle Allen, the backup. I tell you what, I liked Washington plus 6.5. Now they're up to 8.5 against Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles coming out of a bye. I don't care. I don't care that Kyle Allen might start this game. I don't care that Logan Thomas has been out. I don't care who plays for Washington. Divisional game. That defense, for the most part, you're going to have at least 2 or 3 players on that defense will be in the lineup. That's enough for me. Catching 8.5, I love the Washington football team. But more importantly, plus 300 on the money line, because I don't think Philly's that good. Everybody loves and is enamored with the Philadelphia Eagles offense. They played the Jets with Gardner Minshew coming out of a bye week. Jalen Hurts comes back. That defense sucks. Give me Washington outright in this ballgame.
All right. So you say you don't care that Washington has 17. How about they have 21?
I don't care. That's what doesn't bother. I really don't care. I'm taking the points.
Counting 21. That's just COVID, by the way, not players who are hurt. This is what game that gets me angry. And what I mean by this is the NFL. You have a divisional game, a fairly important divisional game. Like I said, the winner of this stays in Philadelphia could get into a playoff spot, depending on tiebreakers. But the winner of this could be in a playoff spot. The loser will be out of a playoff spot. And yet, you have Philadelphia coming off a bye. This annoys me to no end here. You know, why the NFL does this. You should not be coming off a bye and play a divisional game. It's not right. It's not fair. These games are too important. You only play 6 each year. And this one's massively important. I do think, like you, that the spread is way too high. Way too high here at 8.5. But I understand what's going on here. I mentioned it was 17. I guess it's gone up to 21 today. Yeah, you know, because I'm counting all the players now. Once again, a lot of these guys, well, I shouldn't say a lot, but some of them are backups who are probably never going to play anyway. But this also doesn't count that Terry McLaurin is still questionable with the concussion. Same thing with J.D. McKissick. They both can be out. One plays, one doesn't. We don't know yet. You know, and I don't see how they're going to do it. I just don't. I don't like the Eagles really all that much either. And we don't know, by the way, that Hurts is definitely going to play this game. He's got the high ankle sprain. He is splitting snaps with Gardner Minshew. I don't think this is gamesmanship. I don't think they know for sure. I think Hurts is the likely starter here, but that also means, can he run? Or is he going to have to be a more pocket passer? He's got to be more of a pocket passer. It's not really his thing. All right, he's got to run. So I do expect Hurts to start, but it's not a foregone conclusion here. As you're going on here, I agree with you. I think the spread is too high, and it makes me want to take Washington, but I can't do it right now. I can't do it right now because I need to make sure they don't have anybody else going on here. All right? No. I mean, that's a lot of players, Joe.
I'm not worried. I'm taking it. I don't care. I really don't care. I don't think I don't care if Minshew starts. I don't care if Jalen Hurts starts. I'm taking Washington. Nah, but yeah, put in, let's see, who else have they had? They had
Randall
Flacco
Cunningham
there for a second. Cunningham, Joe Pisarcik, throw them all in. Bubby Brister. You could throw in any Eagle quarterback. I really don't care. I'm taking Washington. I think they're the more physical team. I don't care. The backups, they're good enough for me. And this is a divisional game. Even if here's the thing. Kyle Allen most likely is going to get the start, right? He's a mobile guy.
He's got COVID. Tyler Heineke's starting.
All right, so Heineke. All right, so because Heineke got hurt last week, and he was iffy. He came out of that ball game against Dallas. So, well, all right, so at the early part of the week, I love it even more. If Heineke's playing, that's all I need. I mean, you got your starting quarterback there. He's a mobile guy. So what? McKissick's not there. Is Antonio Gibson on the list? Come on. At the end of the day, they can move the football. As long as Heineke's playing, you're going to give me a touchdown, and then on top of it, potentially by game time, maybe 9 points? I'll take that any day of the week. I mean, I'm not sold that Philadelphia is this elite team, and they're coming out of a bye week, and Gardner Minshew, 242, two touchdowns. It was the New York Jets.
Are you trying to say the Jets aren't a good team?
Got blown out by Taysom Hill that threw four picks against your Cowboys. I love. This is one of my best bets, I'm telling you already. The fact that Detroit didn't cover against Denver, I think is even more of a benefit because everybody that did bet Detroit because of the flu bug and that line blew out to basically 13.5, they got abused and lost that ball game. Now everybody's going to say there's no way Washington's going to cover this game. All the money's going to come flooding in on Philly. Give me the other side. I'll take my chance. As long as Heineke's playing, I'll take it. If Kyle Allen's playing, I'm taking the money. I'm taking it. Market, turn
Heineke's,
on the wood.
Heineke's definitely starting. Heineke is definitely starting.
Then I'm
starting.
In.
Like I said, Allen's got COVID. That's been announced all week. He did get beat up versus Dallas, and I do sort of wonder. Now, he's taking all the snaps, so it's not like he will. I was going to say, I wonder if Kyle Allen was healthy, if maybe Heineke wouldn't start. But no, Heineke's going either way. But Allen does have the COVID. I don't know who, by the way, I don't know who second string is. They don't have a second string right now. I guess there's going to be somebody with the practice squad. Because once again, the only quarterbacks on the roster are Allen, and we know Fitzpatrick is gone for the season with the hip. So it'll be Heineke or bust here. I understand what you're saying, and I kind of agree with you, but it's 21 players on COVID. My God. That's crushed. I mean, you could make an argument this game should be moved or postponed to another week, but we know the NFL's not doing that. It's the competitive. It's just, I hate to see a game with playoff implications, which is what this game has. It's this massive playoff implications here. I hate to see it where, even if they cover, I don't think they have much of a chance of winning. Washington's in that last playoff spot right now. Philadelphia is, even though they have the same record, is in the ninth spot. So they pretty much swap spots. If Philadelphia wins the game. And I definitely think Philadelphia wins the game, by the way. The question is, can Washington cover? And let me ask you this. You're on Washington. Would you bet it now, or do you think the spread's going to get higher than 8.5? So are you doing the same thing I'm doing as far
no.
as, what's up, are you waiting?
I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it now during the show, right? I'm going to take it. But because I'm looking right now, Antonio Gibson's good. Heineke will play. Ricky Seals-Jones, the former Texas A&M standout, he's starting at tight end. Adam Humphrey's good. So that's enough for me. You got Eric Flowers. You got two starters on the offensive line. I'm going to take a little now and then take a little right before kick to see if that line gets up to 10. When we come back, we'll break down the other games for Week 15. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Ripping through the action for Week 15, we were getting into a discussion off air about Seattle and Minnesota. Which team did we really feel had a better shot to potentially make the playoffs? I said it all week. I did jump on the Seattle Seahawks a couple of days ago at 24-1 to make the playoffs. Last four games, they have the LA Rams, Detroit Lions, Chicago Bears, and they finish up with the Arizona Cardinals. But now the news to DeAndre Hopkins not being there for the regular season, I think, is an added benefit for Russell Wilson and the crew. But they have to get through this week. We know the Rams have basically 9 to 10 players on the COVID list. One of those is OBJ after that dynamic performance Monday night. That line opened up at 6.5. It's down to 4. I like my chances with Seattle to pull this ball game out. Rashad Penny came on. That offense has an identity in terms of more balance now. They're running the football. That opens up the play-action passing attack. So I like Seattle's chances, George. But you look at this Minnesota team, right? They play Chicago this weekend on Monday night. Must win. If you're Zimmer, this can't be a letdown spot. We've seen this team how many times where they play high and then all of a sudden you back them and they lay an egg. They lose somehow, some way to Chicago. I don't know. Again, they sucked me in again. I was against Minnesota with the Steelers and Big Ben Roethlisberger. They couldn't pull that ball game out with Freiermuth. But now you have a dead dog in Matt Nagy in Chicago. Stick the fork in him and just end it already.
Agreed. I agree with everything. I mean, once again, got to take care of business on Monday night. There's no excuses here. Chicago's a bad team. Yeah, and Minnesota plays Chicago twice at the end of the year now. They play them now in the last week of the season as well here. They got Green Bay and the Rams in between. So not easy. But if they win 3 or 4, they'll probably make the playoffs here. And you got 2 against Chicago, got to beat either the Rams or Green Bay, and they've already beaten Green Bay once. So got to take care of business. I do like Minnesota Monday night. I don't love them because, once again, it's the Vikings. They generally find ways to disappoint us, right? This season they pulled out some losses. You know, but we know it's probably going to be a close game. That's all they play are close games. I don't know if Adam Thielen will be back. We know Madison will not play. Not that that's a big loss because Dalvin Cook looked great. Absolutely great is that week one back from the shoulder. Madison is not vaccinated, so he's definitely out Monday night. Yes, he has COVID. I like the Vikings, Joe. I do. And I think they're going to make it interesting for the playoffs. Yeah, listen, the whole NFC is going to be interesting. You just keep going on down the list here. San Fran, 7-6. Washington, 6-7. They're your two playoff teams right now. The Rams are 9-4. They're already a playoff team. Then the Vikings, Eagles, Falcons, Saints, all at 6-7. I'll give you the Carolina Panthers and Seahawks at both 5-8. They're in the hunt here. The Carolina Panthers aren't making it. Seattle, I think, has a shot to get in if they can, once again, if they can beat the Rams this weekend. The Rams are going to determine some things, right? They play Seattle this weekend, then they play Minnesota next weekend. You know, they win both, they can kill both those teams' chances. They lose both, all of a sudden it's completely wide open. If they only win one, then that team has a better shot, obviously. So I think it's going to be a fun last 4 weeks of the season. But give me the Vikings on Monday night. And you know what? I wish, Joe, I was saying this with a lot of confidence. Yeah, Vikings. But they've done this before. They've done this before. The Chicago, you know, they gave Green Bay a game. They did. And listen, if not for that, what I thought was a horrible officiating call about that the punt coverage guy running out of bounds and not getting in right away. Looked like he got in right away to me. They would have recovered that for the muffed punt, and that game would have been much more interesting.
Yeah, totally agree with that. That was a faint call, right? That was a ridiculous call. They pulled that one out of left field in terms of giving that ball back to Aaron Rodgers. You know what scares me, though, George? I was on this game last year, and Minnesota got a very close winning cover in that ball game. That was a game that I believe Nick Foles started last year. It was a Monday night game. I did the game with Kevin Walsh in game live, and it was basically, it was teeing around the number until in the fourth quarter they pulled away. We know about Minnesota in terms of Kirk Cousins in a primetime spot. Had one primetime spot this year against your Cowboys. Cooper Rush, they laid 6.5. He gets out-dueled by Cooper Rush at home with the Dallas. Remember that game? That was pathetic. Here's the problem, though. Chicago, back-to-back primetime games. I mean, you have a Sunday night game, and now you have a Monday night game with Justin Fields, and it's over the key number of 3. You're laying 3.5. This game scares me. I will say the 44 total, though. I mean, Justin Fields got involved with that offense. He ran the football. They opened it up a little bit. They were throwing the ball down the field. I mean, if you're Chicago now, I mean, you throw caution to the wind just to open it up, baby. I mean, barring a blizzard, this game should be the way over.
All right, listen, I'm with you 100% here. All right, let the kid play. Let him cook. Let him whatever acronym you want to use here. Let him play. Let's find out what we have here. Get him ready for next season. You're not going to be there to watch it, but that should be their only goal here. Let him play. Let's see what he can do here. Do I love the over? It's in Chicago, so once again, I will have to check weather before I do this. It's 44, which is not a high over, and I think Minnesota scores over 20. They're going to get you more than half. So the question is, can Fields get there? We know Minnesota has problems in the secondary. I think this game isn't over, unless it's going to be, you know, one of those 50-mile-an-hour wind days, you know, because we can see that in Windy City, obviously, we can't see that. So unless we're going to get some of that, I'm going to be on the over here. I don't really doubt my mind I'll be on the over. Just checking the quick weather here. It's going to be cold, but clear, and the winds are only 9, so it should be a fine day for throwing the football here. Give me the over.
George has the Doppler in the basement. He's on the weather vane, right? He's looking at the winds coming in from the northeast down to Soldier Field. Sunday night's game pretty interesting as well. You have Tom Brady, right? He gets the win and cover at home, 33-27 over Josh Allen. They stuck a fork in all the Bills backers, including myself. I was sitting on a 3.5-point ticket, had a 14 parlay going, and sure enough, Buffalo lays an egg. They couldn't cover Breshad Perriman. They lose this game to Trevor Siemian earlier in the year in the Bayou, right? New Orleans gets the win and the cover, dominating Tom Brady. They force turnovers. Now, Taysom Hill and that offense put up a 30 spot. They go on the road. They're catching 11 in this ballgame? Really? 11? I don't know. As much as I hate Taysom Hill and as much as I can't stand the offense, that defense is good enough to keep it close, aren't they? I'm going to take the 11 points up against Tom Brady. He doesn't scare me. I know he's on a heater himself. They're coming into form. But I think they take the running game away. I don't think Fournette has a big day. And I'm willing to take my chances. Maybe they run at will on that front seven with Taysom Hill.
Now, I kind of agree with everything you said. I can't bet New Orleans, though. I can't because of Taysom Hill. I think he'll have at the end of the day, his numbers will look good for fantasy, you know, because he'll run the ball. He might throw a touchdown or two, but he's going to throw some interceptions as well. He's going to make some mistakes here. And I think Brady, you said it, they won the first game. Brady will use that as motivation. And we know Brady. He uses everything as motivation. You know, that's fantastic. God bless. But and they'll win this game. The question is by how much. And I think Hill can make that, you know, he can make that mistake where they get easy touchdowns to Tampa Bay because he's throwing picks, and a pick six wouldn't shock me either here. And I don't think they can keep up with Tampa enough. I think a defense will shut down Fournette. I completely agree there. I won't have any props on Fournette in this game. I guess you could think about an anytime touchdown prop, but the numbers won't be good enough for me to do this. Because I think the Eagles will play well here. But still, I think Tampa's going to score 27. You know, I think pretty similar to what the Dallas game was, a 27-17 final, which means, yeah, they would cover, but it's too damn close for me. This is a game I won't bet, at least not the I could parlay with a Minnesota win. No, I'm sorry, with a Tampa Bay win here, but it's minus 550. I'm probably looking at a three-team parlay at that. So I think as far as the game is concerned here, I'm leaving it alone. I might have the over 46.5, though.
I'll tell you what, last year with Drew Brees, they dominated, right? Didn't they win this ball game 38-0, or it was a complete lopsided victory?
Yeah, it was
on the
Sunday
road.
Night game.
Right, and who was it? It was Kamara and Latavius Murray that had a huge day. I don't even think Drew Brees put the football in the air. I believe they ran at will on that front seven. So maybe, just maybe, there is an opportunity to back New Orleans. Yeah, I mean, plus 410 on the money line for a Sunday night game. I mean, a lot of backers were on Chicago, including myself. I took them. Also took them in game against Aaron Rodgers on Sunday night. They put up a 30 spot. But, I mean, New Orleans' defense is good enough to at least maybe get a turnover here and there. I mean, catching 11 and plus 410, no shot, Georgie boy? None?
You just brought up, a sore point for me. That Sunday night game last year, Cam Stewart and I were doing in-game live during that game, and we had so
big
many – the game was supposed to be like a 70-point ball game, right? It was Tampa Bay. It was versus New Orleans. There could be 1,000 points scored. Cam and I had so many props, and a lot of them were on Tampa Bay, and New Orleans just shut them down cold. And it was like, everything went down. And this is a string of games Cam and I were doing on Sunday nights where, at halftime, we'd have, a running back needed 57.5 yards to get the over. At halftime, we'd have 56, and they would never play again due to an injury. This happened 3 weeks in a row, and then we had this game. It was like, are you kidding me? Where things just weren't going well for us at all. But, yes, thank you so much for reminding me of that. Now I'm not in a good mood anymore.
Well,
I don't think it's going to happen this year, though. I don't quite see that. I don't think it'll be as high scoring as what I would like it to be. But I think points can be put up on the board here. I can see New Orleans keeping it close. I just don't think they will. I think in the end they falter at the end here. Yeah, you beat the Jets. You beat a Cowboy team with Dak Prescott barely could complete a pass because Hill was throwing interception after interception after interception. Brady will score points here. And if Hill's turning the ball over, this game could get out of hand. Like I said, I'm not going to bet it either way here. I'll have some props on it. I will have the over. I kind of think some points will be scored here. But I'm not going to bet the game. I lean Tampa Bay. If I can find a three-team parlay, I'll have Tampa Bay as part of that parlay.
I like New Orleans, but keep in mind, New Orleans head coach Sean Payton has voluntarily been out of team activities this week. He's been under the weather, hasn't tested positive for COVID. He has, in fact, tested negative, and he said that the show must go on. So keep an eye out for that. That was in the middle of this week, that did break on NOLA.com. So as we inch closer to game time, maybe it's a factor. I don't care. If Sean Payton's not there, I don't care either. I'm taking the New Orleans Saints plus the points in this ball game. Again, I mean, a 10-11-point game in terms of a divisional opponent, good defense. Defensive coordinator's still there. I'll take my chances. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know if this game goes over because I think the game plan for New Orleans is, hey, let's limit possessions for Tom Brady. I don't know, even if it's Peyton, he doesn't feel that confident in Taysom Hill to get into a shootout with touchdown Tom. Let's sustain drives. Let's run the football 8-9 minutes or 7 minutes. Let's score a field goal and let's rely on our defense to keep it close. And then we have a shot in the fourth quarter. You see that playing out, George, in terms of the game plan with or without Sean Peyton?
Sure. I think that might be their game plan here. Tom Brady scares me. I think when he gets when he uses that motivation thing, he finds a way here. And the New Orleans defense is good. I think they'll shut down the run. I do think they'll do that. But all of Brady's weapons are healthy. Antonio Brown, who I'm not worried. I don't care if he plays or not. Gronk's back. He looks great again. You got Godwin who's putting up all otherworldly numbers. I just don't think New Orleans has enough to cover these guys. Lattimore's not quite playing as well as he was earlier this season. That way he's going to lock down. But then again, he usually does take Evans out of games. I won't have any props on Mike Evans, that's for sure.
Now, we covered first touchdown score for the week, and it was Leonard Fournette at 19-1, which is ironic. When we come back, we'll wrap it up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up today's show, we went through some of the games for Week 15. We'll also be back tomorrow going through our best bets, so tune in. But we always go through the weekly specials at the beginning of the week, George. And there's one that I did want to ask you because it involves your Dallas Cowboys. They're on the road as 10.5-point favorites in MetLife to face off against Mike Glennon and the New York Giants. We talked about Micah Parsons' dynamic season. Micah Parsons to record a sack. One plus sack, actually. C.D. Lamb, one plus receiving touchdown in that ball game, 2-1. Are you a taker on FanDuel that weekly special?
I have no problem with the Parsons sack. I'd be surprised if he doesn't get it, right? The Cowboys will line him up all over the place. The Giants don't have a good offensive line. He's coming. I can't believe that. I'm much more worried about the Lamb touchdown because of Dak. Doesn't look good right now. I don't think it's an injury, by the way. I think it's confidence. I think his confidence is just waning. I think the receivers are not running great routes either, and that's been a problem here. So that's my issue here. That I would want more than 2-1. You know, that's my problem. I want more than 2-1. 3-1, I'd be, all right, I'll take the shot at it. 2-1, I'm just not quite there. Lamb's a great receiver. Giants' secondary is solid. It's not a bad secondary. You know, so, and Lamb, by the way, hasn't had a touchdown since week 10 against Atlanta. Week 10. So I'm going to say no, weeks. I'm not in on this.
I agree with you because the problem that you're going to have is Dak's going to want to get hot, right? This is a game to get hot. You have a divisional opponent that's down and out. They're coming off a West Coast trip where they got absolutely abused by Justin Herbert. Maybe there is the added motivation. Well, Justin Herbert and that offense put up 37. Maybe I could get right. But this defense overall is a bend but don't break. So that's why I agree with you. They give up field goals, not touchdowns.
Yeah, the Giants safeties play too high, and they try and keep everything in front of them. They failed a little bit last week on it, but they'll get back to it this week. They'll go some yards, but they don't let you get behind them generally.
Yeah, weather can be an issue in MetLife with some wind this possible in the forecast this weekend. For George Kurtz, our great producer, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.